Well, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Then if you'll turn over with us into go right on down in that same chapter to the 15th verse. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? You know, we live in a day and a time when man tries to excuse sin and act like that it's okay that we're not under the law, we're under grace. But right there in what we read to you, he said twice, in other words, sin and under grace, God forbid. Grace is not an excuse for sin. Grace is the thing that can cleanse us up and keep us in a place to where we can live, to where we don't have to commit sin. Each and every day that we live, God will deal with our heart and let us know if we're doing something wrong, that we might get it made right. And the only way to get it right is when you've done wrong is to repent. And here in James, the 4th chapter, and the very last verse in that chapter, the 17th, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, you know, I've never had anybody to argue with me or try and state the fact that sin was okay or that it was something that we didn't have to worry about. They would just tell you, well, God has forgiven it. And they act like that Christ forgave their past, their present, and their future sin. But you and I today, all that's done in the past, we could say has been forgiven if we've prayed and asked God to forgive us. But tomorrow and even today, if we sin, we better get back on our knees and repent. No man lives in the place to where he can say, I am so good that sin is not being imputed unto me if I do something wrong. If we sin, God will bring us to judgment for it. Because no sin is going into that holy city. And you and I, Paul said, I die daily. And Paul was one of those that took inventory regularly. And me and you, if we want to stay walking in the Spirit of God, we're going to have to do that very same thing. Alright, in 2 Peter, the 2nd chapter, and starting with the 15th verse. Which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Now, there's more in this than we could ever get preached out. But I want each one of you to pay attention to the scripture we read. God's Word says, and this is not me, this is a man that wrote this, two different men that wrote these, or three that wrote these, and they knew what God required, and they passed it on for you and for me. And Paul there in Romans, he was making it plain that just because grace is come, that's no excuse for you and I to say, I can sin and get by. Christ's blood paid an awful price for your redemption. And because of that, God does not deal specially with me in some way that He don't with other people. And if I do wrong, if I think something is wrong, and that condemnation comes upon me, then let me know that I need to pray about it, that it's sin. Why would God do that with everybody else? Am I something you need? He said He come and done for whosoever will, that they might come and drink of that water of life freely, that they might taste of the goodness of God, that they might be forgiven and redeemed from the sin that they were born into. And here He said, while they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. If you're following some preacher that tells you that you're a child of God and God can't deny you, that you've been born again and you're one of His, and that is true, but God also said, if you won't take the chastisement, then you're bastards and not sons. When God comes to correct you for that that you've done wrong, if you don't hear it, you're very inheritance to stay by. Sin is the thing that will end up overcoming you and ruin your life. And what we read to you is sin. The one that you obey, that's whose servant you are. If you're not obeying the voice of the Lord, then you're obeying the voice of the devil. Where people like to admit it or not, they're going to stand before God and be judged because of the sin that's in their life, unforgiven. And if it's unforgiven, it will send you to hell. And you and I today, isn't it wonderful to know we have a Savior that loves us so much that He will deal individually with you when you do something wrong. He will let you know that you're doing wrong. But people say, oh, my conscience don't bother. And yet what they're doing is blatantly against the very Word of God. Do you realize if God's Word says, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, and it goes through and they all kinds of sin, and yet you say, and I don't feel condemned. You don't need to feel one way or the other about it. God's Word has condemned you already. God didn't have to deal with your heart when He put in front of you black and white just what that is required. And if you don't hear that, when you stand before God, He said you're without an excuse. Why? He'll read the very Word that He's judging you by saying, you are in violation, and because of that, I reject you. You know, God is so much more fair than the laws of our land. I live in Missouri, and for 90 days, I think it is each year or thereabouts, our state government is up there making new laws that we have to abide by. In Washington, they do it all year long. And how long has it been since you got something in the mail telling you the laws that they pass and what you're going to be judged by if you're found guilty of any of them? You might hear a little clip in the news, and you better be aware of it, because if you're found guilty, the judge will say, ignorance is no excuse. Isn't it nice to deal with a God that's so honest, so loving, so kind, that He gave us a Word for you and I each one to know just what we're being judged by? When I go before the judge here in the court, if I had to do something or I was found in that violation of the law and I had to go before a judge here today, no place will they tell me what it is that this law that I'm being judged by. If I get me a lawyer and tell them what I'm being charged with,
He had to go to the law library and church and look it up to find out if I've got an offense or do I just plead guilty and beg for mercy. But you and I, when we stand before God, plead guilty on that day and beg for mercy, will be too late. Today, mercy be offered in your body and aid. And call upon it. You can find forgiveness. You can find mercy. You can find that he deserves listening to the sin. But when you walk by those doors, a mercy that's open under the death angel calls to, you'll stand before God undone.
And you and I, if we've lived for the Lord and we turn from that and commit sin and don't repent of it, we'll stand before God and that good that we've done won't be mentioned. Why? The sin erased it. You and I, it takes the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from our sin. All of our good works can't do it. But when we get right with God, then we're going to start bringing forth good works. Why? Because we love Him and we want to live for Him. But each and every one of us, you know, in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, the 11th verse, it says, abstain from fleshly lust. And, you know, today that's the thing that drives this nation. Driving down the road, you can see all kinds of advertisements, and a woman will be up there with hardly anything on. And what she's advertising, her dress has nothing to do with it. The way she's dressed has nothing to do with the product she's advertising. She's dressed like that to draw your attention, to get you to look, to pay attention to what they're trying to sell you. And the very thing they're selling is seeing that lust to the eye, that desire of the flesh, that excitement to try and satisfy that old fleshly desire. But God said for you and I to crucify this old man, to bring it under subjection, under the things of God, to be obedient unto the word of the Lord. And then when we do that, we can find peace in our soul. We can lay down upon our bed at night and go to sleep with peace in our heart, knowing that if we don't see the light of another day, it's still right between us and God. You and I today. God wants to make sure that heaven is filled with the redeemed. That's why no sin is going to go into that holy city. And what we read to you, knoweth to do good and do it not, to him is sin. You know, all kinds of people will try and justify the things of sin because common sense will teach you, if you're honest, that it's wrong. You know, I've met a lot of lost people in my life. And that honest sinner out there that sees and knows he's lost, I have never had a problem with him. I've never had a problem him trying to destroy or tear down the life that I'm living in front of him. I've had them to ask me to pray for them or pray for some of their family. But I've never had them to try and tear down the very life that I was living, trying to ruin my testimony. If that so-called Christian, that one that's a member of a church somewhere or other, that don't want to live to the standard of God, that will do all we can to destroy those that are trying to live according to the Bible, why? Your very life can deal the life that they live. It points it out to the whole world that they're not a Christian and that they're not living according to the Bible. So the best way that they can defend themselves and destroy every person in sin, God's word is true. That any man deceived us, it's always somebody else's fault. And the reason I'm in sin, but we need to come before God and say, Lord, it's me that stands in the need of prayer. It's me that sinned. It's me that failed. And when we're honest, we can find forgiveness. You and I today, God's Word is going to come true. The very way that He said. Back in Romans, that 6th chapter, the very last verse in that chapter says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The wages of sin is death. You're working. If you're not a Christian, you're working for that very sentence that's going to be pronounced upon you. Because you're going to be standing there being judged for the sin that you're in. You know, I've heard all kinds of people tell a lost person, "Oh, you need to quit drinking. You need to quit gambling. You need to quit using drugs. You need to quit chasing women. You need to do this. You need to do that. And get yourself in church." You know, when I was in sin, I wasn't able to quit none of the things that had me bound. And I come to the Lord and I got on my knees and I said, "Lord, have mercy upon me. I don't want to live like this. There's got to be something better than this." You and I today, God is offering so much better. You can't change yourself to make yourself good enough to go to heaven. But when you come to that one who blood to shed for you, He can cleanse you from all that sin that you was in. Set your feet up on a highway of holiness. Walk with you. Teach you just what that He required. If you'll listen and obey, and not listen to some preacher that's trying to tell you, according to our denomination, this is good enough, or according to our denomination and what we believe, you're okay. Denomination will get you nowhere but to hell. I'm ordained in the Free Will Baptist, but the Free Will Baptist will not be mentioned when I stand before God. Why? Free Will Baptist wasn't what saved me. It was the blood of Christ that saved me and made me a new creature. You and I today, you can join every Free Will Baptist church in the United States and still die and go to hell unless you've been born again. Shaking a preacher's hand does not cleanse that heart on the inside. Asking the preacher to forgive you or some priest, that does not cleanse you. If you went to a man and asked him to forgive you, he might say you're forgiven, but he wasn't the one who blood was shed for you. He wasn't the one that was called and made fun of. He wasn't the one that was beaten and spit upon. He wasn't the one that carried all of that for you down here as he was trying to reach out to the world that they could see. Even in this world, you can live a life without sin. Why He did it, and He's offered that way in front of me and you. Trying to walk in His footsteps, He knows we're not perfect, that we'll fall and fail. But when He's won, He's there to reach down and pick us up if we'll call upon Him. You know, my dad was a big man. 6'6". And I guess at his strongest, he was about 255, 260. And wasn't what you could call fat. He was just strong and stout. And I can remember walking with him in the woods and being independent and not wanting to hold on to his hand. Thought that I could do it myself. Why? Because I was getting big. I was 5 years old or whatever. And I thought I didn't need him. But I soon found my little legs wasn't able to negotiate all of the things that were there. And when I fell down, I could reach out to him. Only one finger come down and it was strong enough to lift me up and just carry me across it if I would hold on to it. My God, He got more strength in His little finger than all the people that live upon the face of the earth. And I'm so thankful when I get a hold of that hand, I can feel that strength begin to lift me up.
as long as I don't listen
and depend upon God. Preachers today will mislead you. You know, it hasn't been long back. We talked to a man and a woman that's in adultery. And I told them at the time that they'll find all kinds of preachers that will try and justify their condition and say it's all right. But I give them what the Bible said. And God's Word said they shall be called an adulteress if they've got a living husband. Or they shall be called an adulterer if they've got a living wife other than the one they're with now. That's Bible. That's not my opinion. That's what the Word of God said. And a preacher friend of mine that I thought would stand with me, he was of the other denomination, but that I've never found fault with that, as long as a man's heart's right with God. And giving him all the Scripture, all he can say, yeah, but I think God will make a way. But if we tell somebody that, and they hold on to that, Bible said, your promise of liberty, they do not have. If you tell any man that he's in sin, if he's smoking marijuana, for his health, and he says, oh, I need this because I heard, Christ said, by stride, by that you can be healed, call upon God, don't go to the place of sin, to try and nurture yourself, to try and give by, some preacher might say, oh, that's all right, if you're a drug addict, to go to the government, and get your drugs from there, and you can live like that, that'll be all right, if you're alcoholic, it's not going to hurt you, if you drink a little bit, I know a man in North Carolina that a doctor told me because of some problems he's having with his kidneys that he needs to drink a beer every day to keep him flushed out. And I told him that God was able to take care of it. When he trusted God for a little while, then he turned to what the devil was giving him there for medicine. You and I today, it's much better for our life to be taken here than it is to surrender to sin, that we might prolong it. Each one of us, life is so unsure. Death is so certain. I would rather die today. If the Lord lets me live to the 26th of August, I'll be 60 years old. But I would rather die today than live to be 125 and not know God. If me living for the Lord, dying right with God, means I die today, I say, Lord, come. Lord, come. Why? What is life if you end up when it's over with hell as your home for all of eternity? It's much better for that little child that was miscarried before it ever grew real here in this world than we're going to live to be 100 and not know God. Why? That little child is in the hands of God. People say, oh, what do they breathe? They don't live. They don't have a soul. God told a man, I knew you when you were still in your father's loins. Don't tell me God don't recognize that little baby in the mother's womb. Today people, they're slaughtered on this if they're nothing. But God said, I remember every one of them. Like the soul said, I knew when their birthday should have been, but they're here with me now. You and I today, God's made a way for us. And even if you're one of those that calls yourself a Christian and has aborted little children, God can forgive you. But unless you ask, don't think you're going to stand before God and be okay. You'll stand there guilty of murder. You might say, well, I didn't do it. The doctor did it. You had to consent. And God will pronounce judgment upon you.
What can be more innocent than that little child? Oh, I've seen little babies just a few minutes old. My first grandson, I've seen him when he was just 2 or 3 minutes old. And I looked at it, and the first thing I looked for was all his fingers. His arms were for God, and his toes and his legs were for God, and that look on his face. And when I seen that, I said, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. You brought one into this world that's healthy. You give us one that is so pretty to look upon. Lord, we're laying him in thy hand for you to deliver inside of heaven's gate. I prayed that before he ever grew great. Lord, he's in your hand. I'll never question or ask why. If you thank him before he reaches the age of accountability. And I won't. I prayed that for my children. I've prayed it for my grandchildren. I've prayed it for friends and loved ones' children. Why? It's much easier to look upon that child's face in a casket than it is to look upon an old person's face laying there who don't know God. You and I, God has made a way, and He's offered life unto us. Think of that. He's offered life. And the devil, all that he is offering unto you is death. I beg you, while we get some song to sing, those scriptures we read to you, if somebody is telling you because you belong to the church that the things that you're doing, God can look over. Reading the scripture where it said, what then, shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. And ask Him what that means. Ask Him what that means. You and I, we can try and put any kind of a picture we want to under it. But God made it so plain. He said, though they be a fool or a wayfaring man, they need not err therein. I can believe that God will make a way for somebody who's living in sin until they die and I die. And there's no way going to be made except the way of the cross, that Christ made. He made the way. We just got to be willing to walk in that straight and narrow way. While we sing, will you come? What's in your heart today? Are you obedient unto the Lord? Are you listening to the things of sin? You know, we go to churches and church outings and stuff. And I can remember hearing pastors stand and say, the dress code applies. And you know, you go and then you're still shocked and you wonder, what would it be if the dress code didn't apply? You and I today, we can just wink at the face of God. There's a church gathered where they'll have a pool party, and they'll be there with a bikini and a little bit of everything. And the teenage boy standing right there in the church room with lust in their heart. The very thing that God said was sin in the hell, and they're trying to condone it in there like that it's all right, that everybody does it. God lay down the standard for each and every one of us to live by. If we don't listen, we'll stand before Him lost. No matter how the preacher makes excuses, and granted there may be a lot that hears this message that gets mad and never wants to tune in to the broadcast anymore, or there may be some that gets mad and writes us some nasty letters. I read you the scripture. Tell God about it. I can't help you. I told you what God's Word said. I give you no excuses. I just told you what God's Word said. And if you can find a way around it, if you can find where God said in the Word that these scriptures don't apply to you, send it to me. I'd like to read it, but I find it applies to each and every one of us. And you and I today, when we stand before God, we will be without an excuse if we're in violation of His Word.